On this episode of Inside Boxing Live, we're in Vegas. We're in a hotel room. We're on a couch together. Me and Chris are going to talk Tank versus Ryan. Let's go. It's here. All right, everybody, welcome in to a very special episode of Inside Boxing Live. Of course, this is a product of John Boy Media. I am not looking at Chris Algieri through a Zoom window. I am in the flesh on a very small couch here in our luxurious suite at the MGM Grand Las Vegas, the fight capital of the world, because we are here for Gervonta Davis and Ryan Garcia. We just came from the weigh-in. It was testy. There were shoves. Mike Tyson was there. A bunch of baseball players were there. I was very excited about that. Chris Algieri was there. Chris, how are you? Welcome to Vegas. Good to see you.
I'm good. I'm happy to be here. Good, nice, big fight feel here in Vegas. Good to go to the weigh-in. We got cooked under the sun.
My neck is burning.
It is. It's hot out there, people. I kind of expected there to be a little shoving contest at the weigh-in between these guys. There's a lot of heat, a lot of words going back and forth. And it's funny, I think Gervonta took a little bit of advantage of Ryan being a little sucked out at the weigh-in. He was like, you know what, I'm gonna talk about how your face looks. I'm gonna talk about the last time you ate dinner. I wanna neg you on a little bit. And Ryan, you know, obviously cutting weight, definitely feeling a little bit. So nice little shoving match.
A little bit of a scuffle. Bernard Hopkins got involved. I heard rumors of Bernard and Tyson getting into a little bit of a heated exchange. But Tank has already tweeted. He'll probably delete it because that's what he does. I should have slapped the shit out of B-Hop as soon as he touched me. Why is he on our side in the first place? But if I would have punched him, I would have been in the wrong. Yes, the fight would have been over at that point. We don't want anything to happen at these weigh-ins where the fight could potentially be off. We don't want that ever. Weigh-ins are silly anyway. It's a big spectacle. And there's shoves. You've been a part of these things. There's shoves. There's this, that, and the other. Just as long as we get to fight night. By the time you listen to this, it could be fight night or fight day. But I'm excited. We've talked about this fight ad nauseum. There's a lot going into this fight. But, man, the more and more we're getting closer to this, I'm really thinking Ryan Garcia is going to pull it out. I haven't made my prediction yet. We'll give it to you at the end. We're also going to give away one free pay-per-view to one lucky person out there. But what did you see from Ryan? The biggest thing and the biggest chatter here in Vegas is the weight. Ryan's talking about it. Everyone's talking about it in the media center. He made weight, came in below 136. Right now is the time, though, when he's on the clock, the rehydration clause. I think it's at 11 a.m. local time, Vegas, is when he'll weigh in again, and he cannot be over 146 pounds. So what's the next 12 hours look like for Ryan Garcia?
Yeah, so because of the rehydration clause, which I hate from the top, I do not like the idea of them. The clock is still ticking for him. It's not like, listen, when we weigh in, it's like, are you weighing? You have a sigh of relief. Oof, the first battle's over. Ryan doesn't have that relief, so the tension stays. And that can be very taxing on a fighter. He can't just go and drink to his heart's delight and eat the foods that he wants to eat. I mean, listen, you're supposed to stay focused after weighing anyway, eat proper foods, but really it's the hydration. When you're coming down to a lot of weight, which I can see he is, it's going to be more fluid than it's going to be food. But now he's got to keep that locked in. He's got to stay
crazy,
focused.
Man.
Still in the back of his mind. I had to step on a scale again.
And it's at 11 a.m., which is late.
Late.
Because the IBF, the 10-day or the 10-pound rehydration clause, is usually 9 a.m.?
Usually early, yeah.
8 or 9 a.m.?
It's 8 or 9 a.m., yeah.
Local time?
East Coast. But.
So he has to wait a couple more hours. His dad says that, you know, it's not going to be a problem. He never comes in that much. But this is a guy that he had to boil down to 136. He's a guy that in his last couple fights has fought at 140, so therefore he's coming in at 151, 152.
And he's a legit 5'10".
He looks so much bigger than Tank on the height-wise, on the stage at the weigh-in. Weigh-in was fucking awesome, man. I just said they're silly, but they're so much fun. Like as a fan,
I like them. I liked weighing in.
It's like a show. It's a party.
Yeah, of
like we're
it
hanging
is.
Out with former Yankees, Gary Sheffield, Curtis Granderson.
We had a crew.
David Price was there. We saw Andre Berto. We saw Booker T. Mike Tyson. Uh-huh. Everyone is starting to roll into town.
Abner Mares.
A lot of fighters.
It speaks to what this fight is, and it's bringing in people from other sports. These baseball players were excited as we were.
Yeah. Like,
they're real fans.
Had their phones out. It was so cool.
They're talking about who they think's going to win. This what's already happened between them, and very very cool to see those guys there and be excited as we are.
I was talking to some Showtime people, and Michael B. Jordan. Adonis Creed mm-hmm. will be in the house. A lot of NFL players, Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, a lot of NBA guys that we saw DeMarcus Cousins. It's going to be one of those nights. I talked to Stephen Espinosa where they've got crazy requests, like Mayweather-McGregor, Mayweather-Pacquiao-level celebrity athlete requests to be at this fight. And I've been to a lot of fights. Chris, you've been to a lot of fights here in Vegas. Mm-hmm. I've been to a lot of Mayweather fights, been to Fury Wilder, been to a lot of Canelo fights. Mm-hmm. This is, none of these guys are involved in this fight. It's a different vibe here in Vegas. It feels new. It feels fresh. It's like, okay, yeah, I appreciate Canelo and Mayweather and the heavyweights. But this is Gervonta Davis and this is Ryan Garcia. It's a new era of boxing. And it feels fresh. I love it. Because, like, no offense to Mayweather, no offense to Canelo and all them.
Yeah.
It's something different. Those can get a little stale after a while. This is something new. We need that.
Yeah, I agree. It has the big fight feel, like I said from the top. But you're looking at, they're lightweights. It's not heavyweights. It's not Canelo. And I like that. I appreciate that. So you have that traditional big fight feel being in Vegas. Yeah. There's nothing like a Vegas fight week. Nothing like it. But it's different. The crowd's a little different. The feeling's a little different. Like you said, it's newer. So I'm into this. I hope this leads to bigger things for more and more fighters taking these opportunities, these chances, risks.
I was thinking the same thing. I think a lot of fighters like Devin Haney, who held a media workout in town yesterday. I was like, oh man, why are they doing that? Trying to take some of the shine off this event and get some of the media to go there. He wants to remind everyone, I got a big fight against Lomachenko.
Yeah, but it's smart. Everybody's in town.
It's smart. Yes, I understand that. But my mindset is, all these young fighters that I was looking around at the weigh-in today, looking around and seeing all those people there, seeing all this. This is what it's all about. Mm-hmm. How long have we been talking about these guys fighting each other, Tank and Ryan? How long have we been talking about those four princes, not the four kings, all of them fighting? We're seeing it with our own eyes, this level of a fight. Like, even it's overshadowing, like, a Haney Lomachenko, which is legitimately four belts at 135 pounds. It's overshadowing Canelo's fight in a few weeks. It's overshadowing a Spence Crawford rumors. It's overshadowing heavyweight stuff. I think it's going to send a message to boxers that you too could have this moment. Make the biggest fights. Bring us the spectacles. Who cares who wins or loses? Obviously, we want to see a good fight. But it's all about events and fighting the best.
Yeah, it's easy to say from the outside.
Shoot me down, Chris.
I'm going to shoot you down. It's easy to say from the outside, and who cares who wins or loses.
It's like De La Hoya mindset.
Yeah, but De La Hoya was already a multiple-time world champion. Like, Ryan is not. De La Hoya was a world champion multiple times before he took, like, the big risky fights, like we're seeing. The Chernoff fight happened three-week classes into his legacy, you know? So this is like, we're seeing guys, I mean, Gervonta has been a world champion in a couple different weight classes already. Ryan's not a world champion. This is not a world championship fight. For him to take this risk, I didn't think the main reason I was saying this fight's not going to happen. Yeah. I'm like, God, the kid makes a ton of money outside of the ring. He doesn't need it for the money. He doesn't need it for the clout. He has plenty of eyes on him. He's not a world champion yet. Like, why are they going to make this fight happen? I spoke to Oscar De La Hoya earlier in the week. And he said Ryan demanded the fight. He's his own man.
Yep.
And Oscar, people can say whatever you want to say about Oscar. I think he made a good decision as a promoter to take what his fighter is saying. Hey, you want this fight? This isn't the best career move for us, but okay, do what you got to do. I'm a fighter. I get it. I understand it. That's one thing I like about Oscar as a promoter. He thinks like a fighter at times, and allows these things to happen. So.
Yeah, he runs Golden Boy kind of like he ran his career. Like, best fight, the best. You see his outfits?
I love him.
The kimono.
He's getting a lot of shit for it, but I love him.
Yeah, yesterday.
The leather pants today are fire.
I talked to him. We're going to have something very funny coming out, too. Inside Boxing Live, YouTube. I talked to him. We both did. And today he was wearing the leather. His beautiful girlfriend.
I don't know what she is, but yes.
The
girlfriend.
The cheeks were out.
Yes.
Cheeks were out, and they made the rounds, and Oscar, that's about Oscar. Oscar and Ellerby, I felt like that was like days
Ellerby
ago.
Looked, he looked good, too.
Who, Ellerby?
Ellerby looked good.
The Uncle Phil
look? At the weigh-in with the gray beard?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, but I was thinking about Ryan Garcia, and I was thinking about how crazy it is that if he wins this fight against Tank, he's not walking away with a world title, which is insane.
Which is cool, because it shows you it doesn't matter.
Because every big fight for in the last 10, 15 years, there's always like a belt attached to it. Any Mayweather fight, any heavyweight fight, any Canelo fight. This one, it legitimately is like a grudge match. So Ryan wins. He doesn't win a world title, which is the traditional thing in boxing. What he gets is respect, legacy, and he becomes the money man in boxing with no belt. It could change the whole outlook of the sport if Ryan can win.
Yeah,
which is going to be a tough task.
Yeah, I mean, he can win, but that's what I was saying from the topic. I hope this opens up doors for some of these younger guys, and not just for taking the risk, but allowing promoters to be like, hey, man, maybe we can push our guys, promoters and managers, to be like, hey, maybe we can allow our guys to take these risks. And it's almost like the UFC model where you can have a loss. I hate the undefeated fighter thing. Floyd ruined the sport with that. Everyone thinks they need to be undefeated. That's not the way it's ever been. Good fighters fight each other, guys lose. That's what it is. And these guys are taking that opportunity, that risk. And I love it. I'm here for it.
What'd you see from Gervonta on the stage? I thought, obviously, he's a 130-pounder at heart, so the 135 ain't a big problem for him. He's not making weight perfectly fine. That was a big issue with him early on in his career. He looked more comfortable than Ryan Garcia. Ryan, seeing him yesterday, looked very drawn in at the presser. Today, he looked a little bit better. But for Tank, I feel like he's at his weight. He got the weight he wanted. He got the rehydration clause he wanted. He's the guy everyone's picking. A lot of pressure on Gervonta Davis, I think.
If Gervonta Davis is to win this fight, part of that win is going to be based on what happened at the negotiating table. Because the 136, the rehydration clause, that's big. That's big. You know, there's a lot of things behind the scenes that a lot of people at home don't know, like the size of the ring, what size gloves, what ounce gloves you're going to use, you know, who walks the ring first. There's all these things that we are not really privy to until fight night, usually. And, you know, this is another thing. With the weight class, it's essentially a catch weight, but it's 36. Gervonta came in 35.
Yeah.
Even Ryan came in a half pound under. I spoke to Oscar earlier in the week, and he said he was so surprised at how easily Ryan was coming down in weight, and that this may not be his last 135-pound fight because of how easily he was making it. They actually surprised themselves.
I'd be shocked. Like, I'm thinking, like, what I want to see out of this fight as a boxing fan, what's good for the sport, because I'm always thinking about that. Like, what's good for the sport would be, like, a close fight where there can be a rematch. But then you think of Ryan, he's not long for this weight, but if he says the weight's coming off easy, there are some huge fights for him at 135. Like, Haney is out there waiting. Haney says, I will gladly fight Ryan Garcia, but guess what? It might happen at 140, and guess what? There ain't going to be no rehydration clause because I don't believe in him. So him and Ryan are talking nice. There's so much at stake in this fight, more than just belts, like the bragging rights. Walking through the crowd at the weigh-in, it just felt different because like everyone's like, you had the Tank fans, you had the Ryan fans. It's like an old school grudge match.
There was booze.
Yes,
as like unsportsmanlike as that is, it just shows you the fans. I mean, it's awesome. I love that.
And they were nice though. It wasn't nasty.
Yeah, no,
like
was
Dre, the guys that we were talking to were like, yo, Ryan's gonna win. No, Tank's gonna win. But you know, we respect each other. Like, it's all good. It's all good. So hopefully that's the case, because it can get pretty nasty sometimes. But man, it's finally here. I've been honestly hoping for this fight for so long. From the first time I met Ryan Garcia and talked to him, the first time I seen Gervonta Davis, knew these guys were on a crash course, went through so much in terms of the political nonsense, went through so much in terms of ups and downs. Ryan Garcia was nearly out of the sport. Gervonta Davis, so much stuff outside of the ring. I honestly can't believe we're sitting here in the MGM in Las Vegas. We're going to get ready for Ryan Garcia versus Tank Davis. I just didn't think we're ever going to see it. It even broke me down. Optimistic Dan was broken down at one point, but we're here.
Well, you beat Pessimistic CA on this one. I still owe you a beer. I haven't got you that
you
drink
did
yet.
Buy me this. This is a not
sure
water.
I did buy
this
that.
Is a High Noon. Chris did buy this for me. He took a few selfies with some fans. So the bet is honored. We're all going out to dinner after this. Wolfgang Puck, me, Chris, and our super producer, Dre Freeman, who's doing a phenomenal job with us. Dre has, he's behind the camera right now. I'm not going to hear from him, but I'll speak for him. He has never been to a boxing event. He has never done anything to do with boxing. But he's here in Vegas.
But he's also never been to Vegas.
Never been to Vegas and never been to a boxing event. He's blown away. I tell him, bro, you get ready for a wild ride. Okay. Press conference, that was nothing. Wait till you get to the weigh-in. Now we're at the weigh-in. I was like, wait till you get to fight day and fight night and everything that goes on after. So shout out to Dre for doing a wonderful job. Wolfgang Pucks, is that where we're heading for dinner?
Think so.
Yeah? We want to talk predictions? told everyone we have a prediction on here. How do we see this fight playing out? Obviously, so much has been talked about. We talked about the weigh-in. We talked about the weight, everything. I've been talking about Geronda Davis' slow start. Guy throws the least amount of punches in boxing per round at 34. Her highest connect rate, highest one of the highest knockout rates. Mm-hmm. He's going to do his. We know what the fight that Geronda's going to fight. How does Garcia come out in this fight? That's what I'm interested in. Is he going to try to pile up rounds, which is really not his game? He's about 41 punches around, so not much more. Can he bank rounds early, Ryan? Should he come out aggressive? Because when you do come out aggressive, you get countered.
Here's what I would say for Ryan and his team with Goosen. Take advantage of Tank's inevitable slow start.
Mm-hmm.
Step out of your comfort zone. Do something that you're not used to doing and come out with an authoritative jab. Come out there. I wouldn't throw many right hands. Leaves you open, especially, you know, with a power puncher like Geronda, who's going to look to counter. Stick that jab on him. Pile up those rounds early. Get your rhythm. Get your timing. And then go back to your normal style where you're kind of backing off, finding your range, and whipping those hooks. I don't think he should throw too many left hooks immediately. Because part of Ryan's power comes from the surprise of the shot. The speed. You don't see it. The power's more than you expect. Those first couple, if Geronda gets hit with some and survives them, it's going to be a long night for Ryan because that happens in fights. Sometimes the first shot's the worst. Same thing happened to me in Provodnikov. First time he hit me, I was like, holy cow. But then once I got up from the shot, I was like, all right, I can take these. I'm okay.
Wild.
You know, so, yeah, I think he needs to mask that hook at first, and he comes out with a hard jab and shows him that he's more than just a left hook artist.
Okay.
And then bring out that left hook a little bit later, I think he's got a chance to pull off the win.
Like, the bank rounds, you got to stick and move. You got to throw a jab, you got to get in and out. That's never been Ryan's game. He's a plotter. He moves slow. He has not the greatest footwork. He comes forward, and like you said, he surprises you, which is usually counter shots. So it's two counter punchers. So that's from Ryan's side of the game. Geronda, I would be shocked if he leaves his game plan. What I expect from him is the same old, like even 20 punches around for the first couple of rounds. But then find something late. That's what everyone is saying around town.
Yeah, I know. I was speaking about the Luis Garcia fight, his last fight, mm-hmm. and I was like, yeah, it was a typical Geronda
performance. Hector Luis
mm-hmm. Garcia. Mm-hmm. It was a typical Geronda Davis performance. I thought it was good. I thought he was fighting a very good fighter, too, a guy that I think people are probably underrating. He goes out there, he starts slow, he gets hit with some shots, he takes risks. He's analyzing, he's collecting data, he's processing his opponent. And then he just starts to pile on the pressure. And I believe he's going to do the exact same thing because, listen, if it ain't broke, and I think it'll work with Ryan.
Wow. I'm so pumped up for this fight. My final prediction, I'm just going to say it.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it. I'm about to say it. Ryan Garcia is going to win this fight. Ryan Garcia is going to shock it. He's going to shock the world. There will be a rematch. I don't know if I can go as far as to say there'll be a stoppage, but Ryan Garcia is going to win this fight, and it's going to shake up boxing Twitter. It's going to shake up boxing world, boxing business. That's my prediction. You heard it here. Go, Chris.
Write that down. And as usual, I'm going to go the opposite of Dan. I'm going to go Geronda Davis late. I think that it's going to start a little bit slow. I think that Ryan's going to have some success early, but I think Geronda is going to start digging the body, closing the distance. I think Geronda might even get hurt early. Might get clipped. Might get stunned.
I want to see him get hurt. I want to see him weather the storm.
Yeah.
Weather the storm.
I can see that happening. I believe he's going to be down, and then he's going to come back and he's going to roar back. And
wow.
I think the weight cut's going to affect Ryan late, and it's going to play a factor in the fight. And I think Geronda gets him late.
Okay, I got Ryan. Chris got Geronda. I can't wait. We'll have a post-fight podcast right after the fight. So you want to keep it locked to Inside Boxing Live YouTube. You want to keep it locked to all of our socials. We're going to take a shower, not together. I know we're on a couch. We're going to go out to dinner. We're going to have ourselves a nice night. And we're going to settle in for one of the biggest fights of the year. Shout out to whoever it is out there that won the pay-per-view. I hope you enjoy it. As always, my friends, protect yourselves at all times. Stay out of those damn DMs. We out.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy. Two Good Coffee Creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good Coffee Creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.